to joking and nonsenses and purely go forward. That was all, right? How many times I went back to the beginning of book two? And each time he discovered a little bit more in it, and more and more. He had so much to say in that beginning, remember? Which I almost divided to three parts. First part is your position. You have to go and come back. It's about we, it's not about I and all that. Second part, the donkey and the grass. The third part, I said, haha, it's the magical picture of Abraham, which looks like idol worshipping, but it's idol breaker. That picture of Abraham, that picture of someone who goes through the fire. I believe in that picture. You see all of that, right? Shall I go to the first paragraph of book one? Which is not very long. It's a very short one, right? But you know a lot about it because I go back to every single word of it. And correctly, I'm not wasting time. You see that each time you go, you see it better and better because that's what it is, okay? So, normally I'm looking at the teacher, a very clever one, good one. Book one started with something first, something that I don't read and I don't talk yet. When book six is finished, I go to read that first one, which I call paragraph zero. Paragraph one, the king and the handmaiden. So many choice. Book two, a long one. Book three, what was this all about? Shouldn't you think about it? Remember the third position I always bring in? I always say, remember, there are three positions to take when you are reading a text, no matter which text. First position is, what is this? Like a normal fellow, reading it, like watching a movie, and watching what's going on, what's happening, and all that. Being the observer. Understanding the story. Going with the story. Then, when it is finished, I say, please, step back, one step, and think about what is he thinking that is talking like this? What does he want me to understand? Therefore, he is trying to put these special words like this. He's playing a game to give me a message. What is that one? The third one to me is to step back again. That time I was sitting beside him. Now I step back and say, what is the thinking system of this fellow who thinks like this? Who is he? In the third position, I'm connecting to him. First one, I'm busy with the happenings. And especially if the happenings are interesting like this. A lot of good stories with the magic and all that. It's really fun even to read and understand. It's even better than Ali Baba and 40 Thieves. That's the first time. Second time, I'm digging in. But I'm digging in that book only. Right? Third time, I'm looking at the fellow I know. When I'm reading Rumi, I bring in all the Ghazal and all the other stuff I know about him in the meaning of this. That's the third position. So let's go back and you, any of you, explain to me what was that to be the beginning of the third book? let's put aside the enrichment. He didn't call it that. I did it. So his third book, what was the message, big message about in that story? Is it a wrong question to ask? So you want to disappoint the six-year-old boy? Or honestly, you want to think about it and find an answer? Because it's very easy. It's about 70 verses, okay? And you have a long time, long, good vacation in front of you. So for the next session, do a little bit of work. Think about it like this. The only thing you should answer is the simple question of this six-year-old boy. This is homework, so write it down. And it's very serious. It's this, that in the first paragraph, which is the opening paragraph of book three, what are the basic, important ideas that Rumi is bringing in? There should be some important stuff when you start your new session, right? So he meant something that, inshallah, you will find a very good explanation for the boy. Okay? That was that. Then he started the teaching. The first stuff was what? Is the stuff we are in. That way I want you to remember that you are at the first stuff. Go back to the first stuffs. Book one, remember? He said, the first stuff is that you see only the surface of the stuff and you judge it by that. The parrot, remember? The parrot and the merchant. Then, next story, he said, there is no bigger barrier in this path than jealousy. Right? Here, the first stuff said, listen, you fellows, you graduated people, you people who know the basic of this, now you're started to enrich yourself and understand the meaning of all this stuff. The first thing is, do not try to eat the children of elephant. So this should be at that level of importance. Means one of the worst thing that could happen to you is to learn the langage, to learn the way of talking this way, which is always very kind and beautiful. This path, normally, we don't talk like this. We talk like this. And you learn to imitate this before anything else happens. You're dead. Why? Because you will eat the children of elephant, okay? But you are not honest to come out and say, I ate that child. You never say, I'm quoting from a page of a book which I found by accident. You say, this is what I know. You hide it. From whom? From everyone. Does it matter? No. The elephant will understand you did it. And the elephant will crush you. That's what it is. So, the first stuff is avoid doing something that you're going to hide. Avoid imitation. Avoid challenging and cheating. This is the first story we're in. He broke it to three pieces, right? We are almost there. The first piece was talking about the meaning of unity. Are you looking at me, what I'm doing? I'm digging. I'm bringing up one verse here and highlight it like this to say, in this paragraph, Rumi brought up this message. Look at it. Do you remember what I asked you to do about the first one? I'm giving you an example here. One of the main stuff he brought in, first of all, he said, unity. When you are talking about these people, when you say Sufis or the RF, you are not talking about different people. They are one. And each of them is a part of this meaning of Haq. This was the first message. Is it correct or not? What is the meaning of Haq? Meaning of Haq is not something that could be put in a jar or in a safe or kept or made up. It's a meaning, right? What is it? I'm waiting. Tell me, what is it? There is a group of minority, very intelligent fellows in us. The meaning of Haq is in them. There are a group. I know one face, Nelson Mandela. And there is this group of people. And there is no difference between the meaning of Haq in Mandela or Mahatma Gandhi. That way, I understand there is some stuff. The first thing you should understand is that they are a part of one unity. There is no two Haq. I'm not talking about there is no two God. There are several gods, because gods are created by human storytellers. That God we are not. We are talking about Haq, remember? Which is correct, which is right, which is all the adjectives that could explain a little bit the meaning of God. Forget about this fellow that you like to cheat. Remember this other friend of mine who is asking you, what is God? What do you say? If he asks you, I would say, oh, there are so many gods. First of all, each of us has a personal one over there. And we are befriended like that, even when we are the cheaters. And there is this image of God. There is that image of God. And say, what about yourself? What is your God? And say, the image of God for me is in Chapel Sistine. It's beautiful old man. But that's just a beautiful image made by a special fellow who helps me a lot to understand God. Yeah. You know how? Do you want to know how? When I look at that picture, first of all, my first reaction is, wow. It's obvious because I studied art, I spent my entire life acquiring a little bit of that taste, okay? So I look at it like that. Then I remember all the stories and silly stories in the Bible and other religious Semite books. And I remember all that, which to me doesn't make any sense really. It is like a cartoon. It's an imitation of some irony somewhere. But putting all that apart,